The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
This Reformation Day that we celebrated God's faithfulness through the Heidelberg Reformers, those who were behind writing the Heidelberg Catechism, which we have on occasion actually recited here in church. And so in honor of Reformation Day, we're going to consider for our Lord's Supper service that beautiful first question. Lord's Day, question one, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. And so preserves me, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. It's not God's word, but you want to say amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this incredible gospel hope, and we praise you, our good and gracious King, for giving it to us. We pray now that you would build us up in the gospel. We pray that the weary and worn out soul would have your comfort ministered to them. We pray that the soul that is far from you would be saved even today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this catechism, you may or may not have done it, but there's a good chance you know this question, right? This is one of those question and answers for the ages. Just this incredible distillation of gospel truth, of gospel comfort. It's amazing how much more you can say when it's not fluff, when it's not, just thrown out their phrases, but it's based, built on the word of God. It is incredible the comfort that can come from the truth. And so as I consider this Lord's Day service, I actually had the chance to go to just a wonderful resource I have. It's lectures that Zacharias or Sinus actually did about the catechism that he helped create. And so in that way, we ask ourselves, why did you put together such a beautiful paragraph like this? Was it just because you were a poet? Or is it because there was truth behind it? And what I hope you can see today is the incredible truth that this is built on, the truth that is meant to give you comfort both now and to your dying day. Ursinus, he had this heart for comforting believers in the face of evil. See, he would say that you have a world filled with evil. And you have a world filled with darkness. And we've already touched on that once today. And so many of us are living that right now. And Ursinus said, if the evil is this great, then only a great good can comfort us. And so that's why he considers in the face of a hard world, how great is the gospel comfort? Is it really sufficient to the task? Is it really enough for you today for whatever it is you are going through? And Ursinus answered in just marvelous biblical fashion to say, yes, indeed, there is a great enough good to comfort us in our distress. Going back to just that fundamental gospel truth, Romans 8, but verses 35 and 36, what is the great comfort that is sufficient to a world this evil? It is that gospel truth that says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Says, what is your comfort, child of God? Your comfort is that you cannot be separated from your Savior. You cannot be separated from this great salvation. Paul was a man who knew affliction. Paul was a man who knew trouble. Paul was a man who knew danger. It's always easy to give fluff Christianity, someone who can speak without any experience behind it, without any sense of how hard the real world really is. Paul was not that man. And he can look around at the children of God and say, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So take comfort. Is your life evil? Is the world evil? Is there so much going wrong? And you may say, yes, yes, and yes. And the gospel speaks to you and says, but you will never be separated from your Savior. Ursinus went on to explain this comfort, and he does it just piece by piece, and it's a joy. It's a joy to see how much he was thinking about this. He wasn't wasting words. He wasn't departing from the scriptures as he went. He made the first point to say that the comfort of this question, of this answer, is that we are reconciled. We are reconciled. And so even in that first opening idea that I am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He can say there and point to this great gospel truth that, Christian, you are not your own. Sometimes we need that to convict us of sin, right? You're not your own. Live for him. But here, there's also a comfort to it, right? The comfort that says you belong to him. Child of God, he bought you. He bought you, and you are his. And now the glorious gospel result is that we who were once enemies of the king belong to the king. We who were once rebels before the king now call him father. So great is that purchase that not only do we belong to him, but we come into that new reconciled relationship with him. Ursinus would go on to say that price of our reconciliation, it was sufficient. It was sufficient. And so 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19, he'll talk about the knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. See, the key for your guilty conscience, saints, as you consider just how evil you have been, as you consider how you have abused grace and taken God for granted, as you consider just the repeat nature of your sin, that it just keeps going and going and going, what you're doing is you're giving yourself, frankly, a well-earned greater estimation of how guilty you are. We will never grasp how bad our sin is and has been. We just won't. But there you are, and God, by his Spirit's convicting you, and you're feeling the guilt. You're feeling how wrong it has been, how you've been feeling, how wrong it has been, how you've been acting. And on the debt side of the column, it is just piling higher and higher and higher, right? Where one place in your life, you might have thought you had $1 million worth of debt. You suddenly realize you have $100 billion worth of debt. The debt is staggering. The debt of your guilt is staggering. And it's there that the good news speaks a word to us to say, but you weren't ransomed with silver and gold. You weren't ransomed by someone's bank account. You were ransomed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the word to preach to yourself is that no matter how guilty you feel, that the cross is sufficient for that sin. Always. You can always say to yourself, but the cross is greater. With your $1 billion worth of sin, you can always say, but his grace is greater. Even then, you will never know how much that salvation was worth, how precious that blood was. But if you can just carry with you this truth, that it is always greater, it is always sufficient for that mountain of sin that you have committed. Always. That is the encouragement. That is the joy of knowing that the price that was paid was sufficient for you. There is no way that a Christian can exhaust the grace that was poured out on Calvary. Take comfort in that, especially you who struggle with assurance, who struggle with your guilt. You need to remind yourself at all times, but his grace is greater, but his mercy is more. You need to have that idea that whatever you know of your sin, his grace is better than that, more than that, enough for that. The comfort that Ursinus wanted people to have in this is to realize that that price was sufficient, that that deliverance was sufficient. And what have we been delivered from? We've been delivered from sin. We've been delivered from death. And so again, the scriptures will say, Hebrews 2:14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. John would say likewise that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We're people with great enemies, right? Most specifically, Satan. And we consider that sin that hangs over our heads, the rightful curse that should come crashing down on the guilty. We consider the death that all of us anticipate. And all of these things are fearful. These are the kinds of things that stress us out, that keep us up at night, that make us weep. And the gospel says, child of God, don't you know Christ has delivered you from those enemies? Christ has delivered you from those fears. Those are the things we want to know on our deathbed, right? That my Savior delivered me from my enemies. My Savior delivered me from sin. My Savior delivered me from the devil. That price was sufficient and the deliverance is total. I need not fear. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Well, because Christ died for you, child of God. What incredible hope in a world filled with fears, in a world filled with enemies. Ursinus wanted people out of this question to know that then as we continue that Christian walk, as we try to stay faithful in this pilgrimage of ours, he wanted them to know that we are constantly preserved. And so Ursinus, here a quote, he would say, we are his property. Therefore, he watches over us as his own, so that not so much as a hair can fall from our heads without the will of our Heavenly Father. Our safety does not lie in our own hands or strength, for if it did, we should lose it 1,000 times every moment. Beautiful, right? Just beautiful. I mean, what the Christian has to know is not just that one time we were let off the hook, but that God is going to get us all the way to heaven. Because as soon as you give me the wheel back, I will crash this car. If God will not preserve me, it doesn't matter what he did for me, I will squander it. I will waste it. And so to the extent that your hope is you, to the extent that your hope is I'm gonna hold strong, you see how worthless a hope that is. What hope is that? If you are the hope, there is no hope. If it's just trusting in you, it's just no good. What Ursinus wanted to drive home is that you belong to him. And so your hope is that God watches over you like his very own possession. You consider how we take care of our possessions. You consider how we care for cars and homes and phones and all the like, right? If it is our own, how we pay attention, we watch over it. Even more so if it's our family, right? Other kids may be running everywhere, but I know exactly where mine are, right? You hone in on your own. And the Lord says, child of God, you are my own. And so don't worry that you cannot guarantee your salvation, because God is where your hope is. You are not the hope. You are not the source of confidence. Do not trust in yourself. For Sinus wanted the people to see that their hope is always in God, must always be in God. That's why we come to things like the Lord's Supper, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But this is that reminder that the salvation that we celebrate is not one you accomplished, it's one he accomplished. The hope you have is not that you are your Savior. Your hope is that he is your Savior. We are constantly preserved, and thank God, because we would wreck it all if it were left to us. Ursinus wanted to drive home that even evil is turned to our good. Don't you love that part when he talks about how all things must be subservient to my salvation? What an amazing thing to say. Ursinus would say, explaining this idea, he would say, speaking of suffering, that these things do not injure Christians, like evil and suffering. It does not injure Christians, but rather it contributes to their salvation. Because God turns all things to their advantage. As it is said, all things work together for good to them that love God. What, I mean, this is just that staggering hope. And you hear it and you think, that is too good to be true. That's someone who's just not in touch with reality. God says, no, really, I am all powerful. Really, I am all wise. And that is the reason that the evil that makes you weep and bleed and break and die, that is why that very evil can be turned to your good. All week long, you are under fire. All week long, there are temptations. All week long, there is a roaring lion. And as you suffer, you have the confidence of knowing that God meant it when he said that he will work all things together for your good. You have the confidence of knowing that God is capable of delivering on a promise that not a single one of us would ever dare make. Everything, God will work everything together for your good as his child. He is committed to it. And then, just in this day-by-day comfort, Ursinus wanted people to know that then the Holy Spirit will be with you, comforting you, helping you. Paul would just soar when he was considering the love of God. And he would talk about the incredible gift that we have, that the Spirit has given to us. And in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verses 13 and 14, he would talk about that in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. God wanted you to know that he meant it. He meant it when he said he would save you. He meant it when he said that the work that he began in you, he would certainly complete. And how did he prove it? How did he make clear that he was earnest in this offer? He gave us the Holy Spirit. God himself gave God as our down payment so that we would know he was serious. You can know by the Holy Spirit dwelling in you that your God will not forget you. Your God cannot forget you, nor can he forsake you. Your God intends to return and finish all his work in you. And his Holy Spirit is his commitment. It is his promise. And that Holy Spirit in you then, it is bearing witness, as Ursinus would say, with our spirits that we are sons of God and that these blessings do truly pertain to us. It's so easy to have that doubt nagging at you that says, are you really a Christian? Do you really belong to him? And the Holy Spirit's work in part in that place of your life is to say, yes, you are his. Yes, you do belong to him. And he bears that fruit in you when you see it and you say, this is the work of God in me. This is how I know he's working in me because I see this fruit. And so for every doubt, it's meant to be squashed by a spirit testifying in you to say, you are his. Doubt no longer. You belong at this table, child of God. Lord is for you. He gave you his spirit so that you would know it. As we wind down on just this question, and I hope some Dutch Christian is celebrating that a Baptist is preaching the Heidelberg on a Sunday afternoon. As we wind down, we ask, so is this comfort actually necessary? Is it important that the very first question would ask us, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Oh man, is it necessary? Because day by day and week by week, the weak gather. Right? You look around, and I'm not sure which one of you is the one that has strong faith, but then there's all the rest of us. Right? There are those of us who feel like we are just hardly making it. There are those of us who are just appalled by how badly we live this Christian life. Around you are not the strong and squeaky clean. Around you are indeed those who need a Savior. Around you are those who are likewise brokenhearted over their sin. Around you are those who are waging war against sin and finding it to be so hard and like they make so little progress. This question was written because the weak need hope. The weak need to be reminded who's in our corner or whose corner we're in. The weak need to be reminded that though we are weak, he is not. And though we fail, he does not. And that though we sin, he does not. And though we are faithless, he is not. The weak need to be reminded that there is this mighty, loving God who has his heart fixed indeed on all his people, but on you, child of God. Right? We don't have a blanket salvation that doesn't care about individuals. We have a God who knows us down to the very hairs on our head. He knows your name. He upholds you. He cares for you. He intends for you specifically to make it to heaven. We need to be reminded that our God knows us like that, that our God loves us like that. We need to be reminded that the gospel is not just like some happy words that we like to say, right? Jesus died on the cross to save sinners, happy words. We need to know that that was reality. That price really was precious, not just because we're poets, or at least Sir Sinus was, but because in reality, the blood of the spotless lamb was shed. And that was blood paying a specific price. And that blood was sufficient for the mountain of guilt we bring to him week by week. We need to be reminded that the gospel is enough to save even me. The gospel is enough to save even you. Your Savior can and will save you. The weak need to be reminded that they are not abandoned and they are not alone. You could give me good news and then say, now go march out across the desert all by yourself and I'll see you on the other side. That wouldn't be a great hope. How am I going to make it across that desert? How am I going to survive that wilderness? And God says, no, I won't leave you. God says, I will be with you. And so, child of God, in all your weakness and all your strain in following after him, you have to remember you are not alone. You cannot be alone. He will not leave you alone. He gives you his spirit so you can always know that you have his help and you have his promise. His faithfulness is on the line, and he's not gonna drop that ball. When God commits to saving sinners, you know what God does? He saves sinners. And that includes every step of the day, every step on this path, week by week, year by year, all the way to your last day. He will be with you. Why is this comfort necessary? You know what's great? Ursinus just brings out this point just to say that for God's glory and for God's worship, we must be delivered. He cannot allow, by his faithfulness, for us to be lost into sin and despair. Right? So there was nothing that required him to save a lot of wretches like us. But as soon as he said, I'm going to save you, now his word is on the line. Now his faithfulness is on the line. Now his glory is on the line. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, oh, I'm an awful person. Who would ever want to save me? And that's kind of true, right? We act like the only reason God's going to save us is if we are worth saving. But that's not what's going on here. God didn't love you because you were worth saving. He loved you because he decided to love you. And now moving here on forward, he says, my glory is on the line, child of God. I will get you to that finish line. And for every struggling sinner, for everyone who wonders how they're going to make it another day, not to mention all the way to glory, that is good news. That God himself is committed to getting you across that finish line. What is our only comfort in life and death? Oh man, it is a glorious one. And in the end, it is simply the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our great God, we are amazed at the comfort we have in Christ. And we pray that you would minister to us now, especially those who are feeling downcast right now, especially those who are struggling right now, especially those who doubt you and have struggles with assurance. Lord, may you be their only comfort in life and death. We pray that you would give us the faith to take hold of our amazing comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons, as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.